Hi, Dan Sheridan here with Successful Savior Ministries. This is lesson two in our series entitled The Plain Guide to Universalism. You know, some claim that universalism is a new doctrine and that it's not a historical faith. But let me just say that that claim is simply not true. Not only, as we believe, does the Bible teach universalism, but it was the prevailing doctrine in the earliest days after the apostles. And what's even more striking is that universalism wasn't a subject of controversy during those first few hundred years. Let's start by reviewing some statements from these early believers in a successful savior. First of all, Clement of Alexandria, who lived from 150 to 215, held this doctrine. Clement believed, in accord with the apostles' words in 1 Timothy, that God is the savior of all men, especially of those who believe. Not exclusively, but especially of those who believe. Let Clement explain for himself. Here's what he said. And how is he Savior and Lord, if not the Savior and Lord of all? He is the Savior of those who have believed because of their wishing to know, and the Lord of those who have not believed till, being able to confess him, they obtain the appropriate boon which comes by him. All things are arranged with a view to the salvation of the universe by the Lord of the universe, both generally and particularly. That's pretty clear. Let's take a look at another quote from Clement as he comments on 1 John 2:2. Here's what he says. And not only for our sins, that is, for those of the faithful, is the Lord the propitiator, does he say, but also for the whole world. He indeed saves all, but some he saves, converting them by punishments. Others, however, who follow voluntarily, he saves with dignity and honor. So, that every knee should bow to him of things in heaven, and things on earth, and things under the earth, that is, angels, men, and souls that before his advent have departed from this temporary life. Now, you can't get much clearer than that. Those are the words of Clement. He believed in a successful savior. Well, then we come to the year 185 with a man named Origen, a man of incredible genius, who defended the doctrine of universalism in almost all his works. Let's hear him praise the successful savior. Here's what he said. Stronger than all the evils in the soul is the word, and the healing power that dwells in him. And this healing he applies, according to the will of God, to every man. The consummation of all things is the destruction of evil. Consider carefully the promise that all shall call upon the name of the Lord and serve him with one consent. Beautiful words. Hear Origen again. So then, when the end has been restored to the beginning, when all feeling of wickedness has been removed, and the individual has been purified and cleansed, he who alone is the one good God becomes to him all. And that not in the case of a few individuals or of a considerable number, but he himself is all in all. And I say hearty amen to that one. Beautiful words. Now, here's a striking fact. Origen's contemporaries didn't lodge any complaints against this teaching. Now, other promoters of the successful Savior include Marcellus, Bishop of Ancyra, and Titus, Bishop of Bostra. Another outstanding universalist is Gregory of Nyssa. He was around from 335 to 390. He believed that God's punishments are remedial, and everyone, including the devil, will be restored in the end, subdued and purified. And he loved to use 1 Corinthians 15 as one of the proofs of this doctrine. Well, I'll let him speak for himself. Here's what he says. What is then the scope of St. Paul's argument in this place? Well, that the nature of evil shall one day be wholly exterminated, and divine, immortal goodness embrace within itself all intelligence. Natures, so that of all who were made by God, not one shall be exiled from his kingdom. When all the mixtures of evil shall be dissolved and consumed in the furnace of purifying fire, and everything that had its origin from God shall be restored to its pristine state of purity. Beautiful words. And he also says this, this is the end of our hope, that nothing shall be left contrary to the good, but that the divine life, penetrating all things, shall absolutely destroy death from existing things, sin having been previously destroyed. For it is evident, he continues, that God will in truth be in all, when there shall be no evil in existence, when every created being is at harmony with itself, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. More incredible words. Now, time would fail to tell us of those who followed in the footsteps of these believers and the successful Savior. The doctrine prevailed in the Eastern Church and places around the Holy Land where the most immediate influence of Christ and his apostles thrived, and in portions of the Latin world. This doctrine went unopposed until around the year 390, and from thence it became the subject of dishonorable attacks and was finally condemned on May 4th, 553, not by reason and scripture, but by force of arms. And we'll talk more about that in another lesson. And let me just say this on a personal note. It gives me so much joy to know that we have both the biblical and historical arguments for our faith. Many Orthodox teachers have suppressed the Universalist Fathers so as to be able to claim the historic argument for their Orthodox hell. And they've done this in some very dishonorable ways. I heard one hellfire man take up the same old false accusation that Origen castrated himself. And that's been a lie that's been perpetuated for a long time. And this man did this in order to make his congregation think that Origen was a kook so as to discredit that father and his universalism beliefs. Now, you have to be very insecure to have to resort to these kind of slanders in order to uphold a flimsy creed. And I say that with all kindness. I love the fact that universalism was never the product of controversy or violence. It belongs, said Thomas Allen, to the pre-controversial age. It is the spontaneous expression of the earliest Christian thought. Its spirit long remained unaffected by the many struggles of the rival churches and schools. And that sounds pretty nice to me. Many doctrines require excommunications, violence, state support, fighting, slander, and all kinds of stuff like that to maintain themselves. Not so universalism. All right, we're going to stop there. In our next lesson, we'll talk about what happened between the years 390 and 553 and how the world, once universalism was suppressed by usurped power, went into darkness and despotism. If the truth shall set you free, the suppression of universalism proves the opposite of that truth. Error shall enslave you. And the goal of this program is to show you the happy faith that we have. After all, Christ called his message good news, and we should be happy. And this message produces joy and peace and love. This is Dan Sheridan. It's been a pleasure spending this time with you. Until we meet again, remember this: Jesus Christ is a successful Savior.